too want to greet you in the precious name of Jesus, our faithful Savior. He's the only one who is perfectly holy, perfectly loving. He's perfectly caring, perfectly merciful, and perfectly just. I don't know how many of you take the opportunity to sit and just meditate on what Christ means to you personally. Before I was licensed and ordained as a preacher or pastor, it was a challenge for me to spend time just listening and communicating with my Savior. Earlier this morning we sang the song about being thirsty for Christ. It's a challenge for me. How thirsty am I? How thirsty are you for Christ? Do we rely on Him? How much do we rely on Him? Before I was ordained, it was a challenge, and that probably just goes with the process of being pastor. But you have to take more time studying and meditating on the Scripture. And even the weeks when I'm not on the preach, it is more of a challenge to spend that quality time that I need to with Christ. But life here is we can get so busy, especially in this part of the country. They say that if you move south, it's not so busy, or it's not so rushed. So Keith, when you get down to Georgia, you should have more time to spend with Christ or with in your devotions. But no, I don't know what it's like down there, but from what I hear, it's more laid back maybe than what it is around here. The importance to meditate on Christ, the one that gave up his life of rest and peace, and came down to, he was up with his Father in heaven, and he came down to this cruel world who despised him and beat him and mercilessly tortured and killed him. Just how wonderful of a Savior He is. But I praise God today that that's not where it ended. Thank God that He rose and He gave life to all of us. And that doesn't mean we're gonna each live a perfect life all the time. That's why Christ came. Because none of us are perfect. But I believe, and like I said before in the past, that I think the way that we live our lives is a direct view of how we view God and who He is. So my challenge to each one of you is how much time are you spending, am I spending, just studying and meditating on Christ and what He has done for us? I too want to thank Chris for the devotional. I think last year, I know it was last year, I preached on Mother's Day too, and I spoke on the roles of mothering, the roles of a mother, of a godly mother. And Chris's devotional there of training the children and teaching them the things about Christ is the most important thing that a mother can do with their children, teach their children. Not that the father isn't responsible either, but the mother has a huge role in teaching them that way. A man stopped at a flower shop to order some flowers to be wired to his mother who lived 200 miles away. As he got out of his car, he noticed a young girl sitting on the curb sobbing. He asked her what was wrong, and she replied, "I wanted to buy a red rose for my mother, but I only have 75 cents, and a rose costs $2. The man smiled and said, "Come on in with me, I'll buy you a rose." He bought the little girl a rose and ordered his own mother's flowers. She said, as they were leaving, he offered the girl a ride home. And she said, "Yes, please, you can take me to my mother." She directed him to a cemetery where she placed the rose on a freshly dug grave. And then the man returned to the flower shop, canceled the wire order, picked up a bouquet, and drove the 200 miles to his mother's house. I'm not reading the story to tell you to drive 200 miles today to your mother, but it is a good reminder to bless your mother while she is living here on earth. As you know, today is Mother's Day. It's a special day set aside for mothers and for us men who are married, the mothers of our children as well. I think we can too often celebrate Mother's Day as a happy day to honor our mothers and to thank them for all the hard work and all the job descriptions that they fill. And I think that is really good to do that. That's fantastic that we do that. But I think we should do more of that than just like Chris said. I think we should do that more than just on one day. I think we can do that every day. The other side of making Mother's Day a day of celebration is the fact that there are the other side of being a happy day, of making Mother's Day a celebration for our mothers, is that there are a lot of mothers that Mother's Day is a hard day for them. There are mothers that may be single moms. There may be those that are married but were not able to have children of their own. There are people that may not have had such good moms as we did from our childhoods. So this Mother's Day, let's not just think of our own mothers if we were raised in a good home with a good mother. Let's also remember the women, girls, and boys, men, women, girls, and boys who are hurt by their mothers. Let's remember the mothers who have lost their children, whether it be in an accident or even prior to birth. Let's remember the women who long to be wives and mothers but aren't. There are many examples in the Bible of mothers that have experienced severe sorrow and pain, severe pain. And this morning, if you happen to be a discouraged mother or a person that has experienced pain from your mother in your life, I would like to try to offer encouragement to you by looking at some mothers where things didn't happen in their life as they would have envisioned. So the title for my message this morning is Hope for Hurting Mothers. Mothering is hard. Probably the hardest job on earth. From taking care of newborns and changing diapers about every minute when they're little, when they first are born. Some of that may be a distant memory to you, but wasn't real long ago since I had a newly born, and as soon as you get done changing them, it seems like they're gone again. But to protecting the curious 2-year-olds from danger, to cleaning up your child who threw up all over the place at 2 a.m. and again at 3 a.m. and then to sending them off to the first day of school, and then, as I have not experienced yet, to walking them down the aisle of a church. And then on top of all these things, imagine losing a mother at a young age. Imagine losing a wife in a divorce. Imagine losing a child in an accident. Imagine being a single mom and having to go through these things alone. These are mothers. These are people who desperately need an encouraging word on a day like today. We could go on and on about the things that our mothers do for us. We could go on all day, probably. And just one day out of the year to say Happy Mother's Day probably feels good to the mom for an hour or even for the whole day today. But then tomorrow they go back to the grind again. I think that we as men and as our children as well, I think, can do better than this. I think that we can try to do this more often throughout the year. We don't just need to wait till Mother's Day. But this morning, I'm going to like to look at two mothers that went through a hard time. And the mothers I'm going to look at are Naomi and Ruth. You all may or may not be familiar with the story of Naomi and Ruth. And the grief that they had to go through as mothers. But before we turn into the scripture, you can turn your Bibles to Ruth a while if you want. Ruth chapter 1, I'm going to be reading from. But prior to, or at the time that Ruth was written, just to give you a little background of the what Israel was like, Ruth, or Naomi and her husband Elimelech had arrived to the Promised Land. And right now, in the area where they lived, in the Israel or Bethlehem where they were living, families, society, and the nation as a whole were gripped by a sinful and an evil spirit, the evil spirit of false religion and false deception. There was unbelief, idolatry, false worship. There was immorality, drunkenness, and partying. Extreme prejudice, discrimination, homosexuality, sexual perversion. There was rape, lawlessness, violence, and murder. The nation was divided. It was disgraced. It was the middle of a civil war. There was deception and terrible abuse of human rights of the national leaders. It says that in that time that every man did what was right in his own, eyes. Times were tough during this time in Israel where Elimelech and Naomi were growing up, were married, and they were living. But now not only was it an evil time, but now also they had experienced famine. Famine had come to Israel. And I had to wonder, could it be that the famine was brought on by the evil that was going on at this time in the nation? And I think that's very possible, that God brought on the famine because of all the evil that was going on. So it gives you a little bit of an idea what they were experiencing at this time. It was a very dangerous place to live. It was very insecure. And now there was a famine on top of this. So I'm going to read Ruth chapter 1, I'm going to read down to verse 5 to begin. It says, "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to dwell in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, the name of his wife was Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. Epaphroditus of Bethlehem, Judah, and they went to the country of Moab and remained there. Then Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. Now they took wives of women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, the name of the other was Ruth, and they dwelt there about 10 years. Then both Mahlon and Chilion also died. So the woman survived her two sons and her husband." So you see here that in these verses, Naomi was going through a lot of rough times. You have to wonder why Elimelech chose to go to Moab, leave the promised land that God had promised them, and go to Moab. Moab was about 50 miles from Israel. It was on the other side of the Dead Sea, and so they had to travel up across the north side of the Dead Sea and down almost to the bottom of the Dead Sea, but it's about 50 miles. Just a little more background on Moab. The Moabites were descendants of Lot. It's amazing how much you learn when you study. It'll be interesting to, I'm sure these children that are in these Bible quizzes would know all this information, but it'd be interesting to know if they do. But the Moabites were descendants of Lot, and the descendants came from Lot's relationship with his oldest daughter. I don't know if you remember one of the cities was burning, and Lot was in a cave with his two daughters, and the story with his daughters making him drunk and then having children with them. But anyway, that's where the Moabites came from the oldest daughter of Lot. And so they were considered an evil nation. They were considered an ungodly people. And Elimelech chose to take his family to this place instead of seeking the Lord and trusting the Lord to carry him through what was going on in Israel. And at this time, these Moabites were enemies of the Jews. The Moabites did not treat the Jews kindly when on their journey to the Promised Land. The Moabites actually conquered the Jews and ruled them, I think, for it was about 8 years. So why did Elimelech turn to the Moabites? Why did he go to them for help? The name Elimelech means "my God is king." But the Lord was not king in Elimelech's life, because he left God completely out of his decisions. He made a decision out of God's will when he went to Moab. That was not part of God's will for him, for them to go. In verse 3, instead of seeking the help of God in the midst of the crisis, he turned to the world for help. And the unimaginable, the totally unexpectable happened. He died. The husband of this poor woman, Naomi, died and left her in a strange land, where she didn't know anybody, and the prejudices of the Moabites, they weren't kind to the Jews at all. But all of a sudden, Naomi was a widow, a single parent left to raise two sons by herself in this strange land. And again, she was living in the country that hated the Jews. As long as she and her sons remained in Moab, they would be facing prejudice and discrimination every day of their lives. And there's no doubt that Naomi was gripped not only with a sense of grief and loss, but also a spirit of fear. She was now all alone in a foreign country, solely responsible for the livelihood of her children, of her two boys, and care of her family. So Naomi is left with a huge crisis here. Her husband led her to a foreign country, a rebellious nation, and now her husband dies, and Naomi is left alone with her two sons. That alone would be pretty hard, I think. But it doesn't stop there. And verse 4 says, her two sons married Moabite women. These Moabite women were unbelievers. Mahlon married Ruth, and Kilian married Orpah. Keep in mind, at this point, Ruth had not yet been converted. And so the marriage of the two Moabite women were against what Naomi and her husband would have taught them. At that time, and even today, it's not the believers are not to marry unbelievers because of the influence that the unbelievers will bring into the home of the believer. So this was another thing that Naomi had to deal with. She had to deal with her two sons marrying ungodly women. So first of all, Naomi lived in an extreme evil nation to begin with in Israel. And then famine came. They didn't have any food. They had little to eat. And then Elimelech leads her to a strange land in Moab. And then he dies. He leaves her. And she is alone in this strange land. And now her sons marry heathen women, which was forbidden by God's people. And now what happens next? In verse 5 it says, that both her sons die. Not only is the grief there for her sons dying, but she has to suffer this one alone. Her husband isn't there to grieve with her. It seems as if there will be no descendants for her family. No one to inherit her possessions. I believe that she owned land in Israel, but there was nobody that was going to inherit it because there was no one to pass it on to. No sons or no daughters. Naomi's situation was total helplessness, hopelessness, and full of despair. I think she felt completely wiped out. She had no hope. Have any of us ever felt like Naomi at one time or another? To have no hope or totally wiped out? If your answer is yes, there is hope. There is hope. As we go on with the rest of the story, we'll find out. And if your answer is no, then I pray that if and when it does happen, that you remember the ending to this story. Just remember the choice that Naomi makes, which results in a restored life. So I'm going to go on and read verses 6 through 18 now. It says, then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had visited his people by giving them bread. Therefore she went out from the place where she was and her two daughter-in-laws with her, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. And Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest, each in the house of her husband. So she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, "Surely we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there still sons in my womb, and they may that they may be your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband tonight and should also bear sons, would you wait for them till they were grown? Would you restrain yourselves from having husbands? No, my daughters, for it grieves me very much for your sake, and the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." Then they lifted up their voices and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, "Look, your sister is." And she said, "Look, your sisters-in-law have gone back to her people and to her gods. Return your sister-in-law. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, and here's the famous two verses that is familiar to all of us, and there's been songs written about it and everything. But it says, Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go, and wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything, but death parts you and me." Okay, so here, I don't know why Naomi wasn't inviting the two daughter-in-laws to go with her. You would think if she was a godly woman, she would have invited them to go with her to her nation and maybe show them who God was. But she was trying to tell them to go back to their evil homes. I think at this point, her relationship with God was not where it was supposed to be. And I think she was struggling. But Ruth, I guess Orpah, finally listened to her and returned to Moab. But Ruth would not. Ruth was totally committed to going with Naomi wherever she was going to go. I'm going to fast forward to, I'm not going to talk any more about that section, but in verses 19 through 22 and the rest of the chapter here, I'm not going to read it for sake of time. But when Naomi and Ruth arrived back home, it says that, it says in verse 19, I believe, it says, the people asked, "Is this Naomi?" So we don't know exactly how many years it had been, but it was at least 10 years, but probably approximately 12 years that she returned, that people had not seen anything of her, but they remembered her. They said, "Is this Naomi?" And so Naomi's appearance must have really changed. She must have been much more gray. She must have been maybe slouched over or, you know, had a lot more wrinkles or whatever, but they did not recognize her. I think if you or I would go through that situation, I think we would look really old too. And then Naomi goes on to say that she went away full with her husband and two sons, and the Lord has brought her back empty. And so here is a turning point, I believe, in Naomi's journey. To realize that she went away full, but the Lord has brought her back empty. I think she finally began to realize that this was what God was showing her in her life. This is a good lesson for all of us. If we walk away from God, God loves us so much that He will somehow lead us back to Him, or try to lead us back to Him, whether it's through circumstances in life, or some way to get our attention. God does not enjoy disciplining us. He does not enjoy hurting His people, but it does bring Him joy. It does bring joy to Him when we do return to Christ. Naomi and Ruth's problems weren't over when they arrived back to Bethlehem, though. They still had to deal with the issue of being widows and not having food. So they were going to have to try to find food to survive. And I think most of us know the rest of the story of how Boaz comes into the situation and Ruth, Ruth finds favor with Boaz, and eventually they get married. And I'm not going to go over the whole story, but and how Boaz turned out to be Naomi and Ruth's savior, really. Savior from their poor state of living. But out of this whole situation, God used Ruth, a Moabite woman, a woman of an evil country. He used a Moabite woman to enter the lineage of Jesus, of Christ. Because when Boaz and Ruth got married, they had a son, and they named him Obed. So this Obed would have been one of Naomi's grandchildren. So she would have had somebody to pass her stuff on to. But anyway, Obed also got married and had a son named Jesse. And then Jesse got married, and he had a son named David. So Ruth, God used a Moabite woman, Ruth, to eventually, and down the road, have, I don't know how many grandchildren it would have been, but and it would have been David. And that's where Christ came from. David was would have been the considered the father of Christ, or of Jesus. So in closing, mothers, whatever place you find yourself in life, God cares. Your situation that you are in right now or in the future may be a tough situation and a place where you thought you'd never be in. And this is not just for mothers. It could be a man as well, your own mother that was not a good mother to you. But let's learn from the story of Naomi and Ruth. We need to turn back to God. We need to and follow God where He tells us to go. We need to continue to seek His face because we will face some tough times in life. Life is not easy. There will be tough times in life, and we need to turn to God and follow Him where He tells us to go. So my encouragement to you mothers is that when the times come, just remember of what Naomi had to go through and how she turned back to God. And also Ruth and her dedication to her mother-in-law. And eventually led Ruth to Boaz, but most importantly, it led Ruth to God. So in closing, instead of just saying Happy Mother's Day, let's also remember to be sensitive to those that may have been hurt by a mother, or by those that Mother's Day is a difficult day because of something that they have experienced in the past. Remember to reach out to them, to pray for them. Let's be the Boaz in the story of Ruth and give hope to these people. Just a question I had, and I had to think why did Elimelech and Naomi's two sons die? Why did all of them die? Was it because of the bad choices they made in life? Elimelech's choice of moving to Moab, and the choice of Naomi's sons to marry a Moabite woman, is that why they died? The choices that we make, do they have an effect of life and death for our lives? Maybe in today's world it's not physical death, but maybe it's spiritual death. That's just something that maybe you can discuss at home or in Sunday school or whatever. when you, yeah, just something that I thought of and I was curious. So let's all stand for a word of prayer. Thank you, Father, for mothers. Thank you for what they do for us, Lord. I pray especially for those that may not have had good mothers, or the ones that may be hurt by the celebration of Mother's Day, whatever the reason may be, Lord. I just pray that somehow that you could comfort them, Lord. Show them your love for them. And I just pray that somehow they would be able to experience your love through this Mother's Day, if it's not through their own mother or some other situation in life that they've experienced. But I just pray that you be especially with those people that are hurting on today. I pray these things in your name. Amen. You may be seated.